This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله we thank Allah سبحانه وتعالى for yet another opportunity another day that we're able to worship him another beautiful day that we place salawat upon the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a means of barakah because nowadays we need those barakahs alhamdulillah today inshallah ta'ala we continue with the seerah of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we specifically speaking about now the time or the events where the Nabi alayhi sallam was approached by Quraysh and certain negotiations started between them and the Nabi alayhi sallam and we will go through also what was the outcome of these negotiations inshallah ta'ala it is mentioned by Yarwih ibn Hisham he narrates this he says an ibn Ishaq an Utba ibn Rabi'ah qala wa nada fi Quraysh Utba ibn Rabi'ah was one of the people from Quraysh at that time, of course, not Muslim, one of the Sadat of Quraysh, the masters, the heads of Quraysh. And he screams one day out the blue and he says, Look, Ya Ma'ashara Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, Ala akumu ila Muhammad fa ukallimahu wa a'rid alayhi umuran, la'allahu yaqbilu ba'duha fa nu'tihi ayyaha sha'a wa yakuffa anna. He says, according to the riwayah, that Utba one day decides that he calls upon all of the Quraysh and he says, O people of Quraysh. Now, specifically speaking to the leaders of Quraysh, even though he's speaking to all, because at the end of the day, we know the ones that were in charge, the ones with the power, was the Sadat al-Quraysh, yani, the masters or the heads or the leaders of Quraysh. So he gets up and he says, why don't I go and I speak to the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, he did not say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he speaks to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and, you know, offer him certain things, try to negotiate with him and see if we can come to yani, a conclusion to this whole thing. Because you see, at that time for them, it was a bad thing. Why? Because you see, in the beginning of the time of Ali Sussalam, there were a lot of people that became Muslim, especially the slaves at that time. And you know that this would affect them because they were the masters and because they were unsatisfied. And Islam is completely, does not encourage slavery at all. Actually, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he freed so many necks from the fire, I mean from the slavery at least. And the Rabbi Ali Sussalam encouraged it and all of these things. So this is working in the favor of who? Of the Muslimin, but not in favor of Quraysh. The majority of the people, as we mentioned before, those that entered Islam right in the beginning, mostly slaves or people that are financially not that good or people that don't have that much ties to all of the different clans in order to protect them. So it was kind of weak people that entered. And even though it was weak, it was still giving a problem to Quraysh. Why? Because you see, one can think that they are strong, but without those underneath him, they're worth nothing. So this becomes a problem. So he says, why don't I go to the Nabi alayhi sallam and offer him certain things? And you know, maybe he will stop with this and we'll come to a conclusion. So they then tell him, Bala ya Abul Walid, go please Abul Walid and speak to the Nabi alayhi sallam and see what is it that you can come out with? What can you result with inshallah? What is the conclusion basically? So Utba then goes to the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sits at the feet of the Rabbi alayhi sallam. He says, Ya ibn akhi, innaka minna haythu alimta min ash-sharaf fil ashira wal makana fil nasab. He sits by the Rabbi alayhi sallam and the first thing he starts off by, of course, praising the Rabbi alayhi sallam. And this used to be with the Arabs. You know, whenever they want to speak to somebody that they need something from, they will always praise them. And this is not only the Arabs, but the majority of the world. You know, sometimes you want something nice from your father, your mother, you know, you speak to them in the best way, in the best manner. You want something for my wife, my darling, my love, you know, all of these different ways that people try to, you know, smoothen the person, sweeten the person so that they can get the deal that they want. So Utba says, oh my cousin, Ibn Akhi, oh my cousin, because we know that Quraysh had all different types, they're all related to each other in a sense. Ibn Akhi, oh my son, oh my cousin, at least the son of my brother. Innaka minna haythu allimta min ash-sharaf. You are very known to us concerning your sharaf, your dignity, your honor. We know you're an honorable man. Min haythu sharaf fil ashira, you're very honorable within your family, you're very honorable within your clan, because that was the clan, or at least the lineage of the Nabi alayhi salam. It was upon a person that was good, upon a person that was good, upon a person that was good, in the sense of honorable. And this is how they knew the Nabi alayhi salam, because he came from that. And of course, we know his name was As-Sadiq al-Amin. The laqab, the title that they gave was the most honest, the most trustworthy. So now he speaks to the Nabi alayhi salam in that sense. And he says, wal makanatu fin nasab, and we know the status of your lineage. Wa innaka qad atayta qawmuka bi amrin azim, and you brought something to your people that is very great and very huge. Farraqta biha jama'atuhum fasma' minni a'rid 'alayka umuran. He says, but the problem is you disunited the people. And it wasn't really disunity between the main people. No, it was because the weak did not want to be oppressed by the strong anymore. Those that did not stand up before, they're standing up now. And these people have a problem, you know. So he says, فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ جَمَاعَتِنَا, you disunited us, in the sense of, you know, weak and poor now, not anymore together. فَاسْمَعْ مِنِّي أَعْرِضْ عَلَيْكَ أُمُورًا, so listen from me and I will give you certain yani solutions to this whole problem. And the Rabbi alayhi salam then first of all tells him, قُلْ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ اسْمَعْ, I'm listening, Abu al-Malid, speak. And he says, يَا ابْنَ أَخِي إِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ شَرَفًا سَوَدْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا حَتَّى لَا نَقْطَعْ أَمْرًا دُونَكَ. He tells the Rabbi alayhi salam, Ya Rasulullah, at least Ya Muhammad, if you want something that will increase your status between us, you know, you want more sharaf, سَوَدْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا, we will make you the Sayyid upon us. You will be our leader, you will be the master. All right, and there will be no amr, no matter, except that you approve or you are consulted with. You know, he's offering status, offering makanam. وَإِنْ كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ بِهِ مَلَكًا مَلَّكْنَاكَ عَلَيْنَا, and if you want a kingdom, you want to be the king, we'll give you the kingdom. We'll become your servants and you will become our king. وَإِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الَّذِي يَأْتِيكَ رَأْيًا تَرَاهُ لَا تَسْتَطِيعَ رَدُّهُ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ طَلَبْنَا لَكَ الطِّبُّ وَبَذَلْنَا فِيهِ أَمْوَالُنَا حَتَّى نَبْرَئُكَ بِهِ. And he says, and if this what you have brought, you know, is some sort of sickness. Look at this. Some sort of sickness that you have visions about. And he says, we will get you a doctor and we'll cure you, no problem. And we will see to the cure. Everything will be upon us, yani. This is what he tells the Nabi alayhi salam. Then the Nabi alayhi salam then says, أَفَرَقْتَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ, are you finished now, Abu al-Walid? خَلَاص, انتهى, finish. Now the Nabi alayhi salam starts to speak. And he says, and of course, Abu al-Walid says, نعم, yes, I am finished. And the Nabi alayhi salam then says, اسْمَعْ مِنِّي, listen from me. ثُمَّ قَال, and then the Rabbi alayhi salam recited the ayat. Hamim tanzilum min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim kitabun fussilat ayatuhu Qur'anan arabiyyan liqawmin ya'lamun bashiran wa nadhiran fa'a'rada aktharuhum fahum la yasma'un. وقالوا قلوبنا في أكنة مما تدعونا إليه وفي آذاننا وقر ومن بيننا وبينك حجاب فاعمل إننا عاملون قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد فاستقيموا إليه واستغفروه وويل للمشركين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. The Rabbi عليه السلام then recites some surah Fussilat until approximately يعني إلى قوله تعالى فإن أعرضوا. So Nabi alayhi salam started to recite, and of course Surah Fussilat starts by Hamim, and those are the letters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not placed their meaning with us. There's some ulama with different opinions around the meaning, but there's nothing qat'i, absolute, to say exactly what is the meaning. Hurud abjadiyya, it is just the huruf that is mentioned in the Quran, that in itself, some ulama of Ulum al-Quran explain, the reason Allah placed it there to show us that even though we claim that we have knowledge, we are incapacitated or we cannot comprehend, even just just two letters we can't understand. It baffles us. We just can't understand it. And this is the mu'jiza of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us. So it starts by Hameem. Tanzeelum min ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Descends from ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful. Kitabun fussilat ayatuhu. A book, fussilat. It has been structured and systemized. Ayatuhu Qur'anan Arabiyyan. It's a Qur'an that is Arabic. لِكَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ. For a people that want to know, for people that want to learn, a people that actually seek in true knowledge. Bashira wa nadhiran. Speaking about now describing the Nabi. As a Bashir and he's a Nadir. A person that brings glad tidings and a person that warns the people. فَأَعْرَضَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. But a lot of people, they closed their ears to it, they rejected it, and they did not want to listen. وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِّمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ. And then Allah describes what the non-believers are saying, the mushrikeen, Quraysh, they say, وَقَالُوا قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِّمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ. That our hearts, it has difficult, it's difficult for us to accept this. You know, it's not in our gut to accept this, right? This is what they're saying. فِي قُلُوبُنَا فِي أَكِنَّةٍ مِّمَّا تَدْعُونَا إِلَيْهِ وَفِي أَذَانِنَا وَقْرٌ. And it's very difficult upon our ears, right? Very difficult upon our ears. وَمِن بَيْنِنَا وَبَيْنِكَ حِجَابٌ. And we feel that there's some sort of, you know, wall between me and you, meaning the Rabbi alayhi salam and Quraysh, that they're not able to connect, they're not able to yani bridge a gap between them. فَعْمَلْ إِنَّنَا عَامِلُونَ. So they say, do what you have to do, we are doing what we have to do. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Now the Nabi says, that I am just a human being just like you. Yes, the Nabi is a human being, but he's the best of human beings. He's the perfect human being. And that is the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشْرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I'm a human being just like you. You are a human being. Yuha ilay. But what is the difference? I receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I receive kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Annama ilahukum ilahu wahid. That is revealed upon me that I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One ilah, one God. Fastaqimu ilayhi. Therefore, straighten yourself for Him, meaning follow Him. Go on that sirat mustaqim. Wastaghfiru, and ask Him for forgiveness. Wa waylul lil mushrikeen. But vow unto those mushrikeen that associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Nabi alayhi salam is continue reciting the ayat, and he comes to the part, فَإِنْ أَعْرَضُوا فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِكَةً مِثْلَ صَاعِكَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُورَ. That if they reject you, ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah, they reject this risala, then warn them about what? فَقُلْ أَنْذَرْتُكُمْ صَاعِكَةً, a thunder, a storm, مِثْلَ صَاعِكَةِ عَادٍ وَثَمُورَ, like the storm that destroyed Aad and Thamud. And Quraysh knew about the stories of Aad and Thamud. Why? Because there were Jews and Christians that also used to visit and came around in Mecca, and they knew of a few people like Waraka ibn Nawfal was a true Christian according to what Nabi Isa believed in. He believed in what Nabi Isa alayhi salam believed in. So they were aware of these stories of all the other Anbiya before and the people that came before, and so therefore Quraysh was aware what happened to the people of Aad and what happened to the people of Thamud. While the Nabi is reciting these things, Utbah cannot hold himself. Utbah cannot hold himself, because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that this Quran affects your heart even if you do not understand. And because he understands Arabic on top of that, it's affecting his heart. He's worried, he's fearful, he does not know what is going to happen to him. He's listening to the threats, he's listening to the warnings, and he's not accepting the message of the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they say, فَأَمْسَكْ عُتْبَى بِفَيْهِ وَنَاشَدَهُ الرَّحِمِ. Then Utbah then turned to the Nabi alayhi wa sallam and said, please, min fadlik, Jazakallah khair, please stop reciting this. I don't want you to recite anymore. Why? Because he could not handle the effect it had upon his heart. Right? He actually, to the extent somebody where it says, told him that, ya Muhammad, please stop, at least for the kinship between us, please stop reciting these ayat. Why? Because he felt that fear within his heart. It stroked his heart with fear. وَذَلِكَ خَوْفًا مِنْ تِلْكَ التَّهْدِيدَاتِ ثُمَّ عَادَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. So Utbah went back to his people. فَقَالُوا مَا وَرَاءَكَ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ. Of course, they're now trying to find out what exactly happened. So they say, what is it that you came with now? What is the news? What's happening with the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قَالَ وَرَاءِ أَنِّي سَمِعْتُ قَوْلًا مَا سَمِعْتُ بِمِثْلِهِ قَطْ. He says, I have with me something that I've never ever heard anything like it before. Never heard anything like it before. Even Utbah knows that it's not Kalamul Bashar. Even Utbah is able to identify there and realize that this is not the words of mere human beings. This is the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi ma huwa bish-shi'r. He says, indeed, by Allah, this is not Shi'r. This is not poetry. وَلَا هُوَ بِالسِّحْرِ, and neither is it magic. وَلَا هُوَ بِالْكَهَانَ, neither is it something of, you know, fortune tellers. وَيَا مَعَشَرُ قُرَيْشِ, he says, O people of Quraysh, أَطِعُونِي وَخَلُّوا بَيْنَ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ مَا هُوَ فِيهِ. He says, O people of Quraysh, obey me and leave this man to do what he is. Don't touch him, don't speak to him, don't stop him. Leave him to be what he is doing. فَإِنْ فَاعْتَزِلُوهُ فَوَاللَّهِ لَيَكُونَنَّ لِقَوْلِهِ الَّذِي سَمِعْتُ نَبَأٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, leave him off, leave him in seclusion, let him do what he has to do, because wallahi, there is something with what he says, naba'un adim, that is great, it's huge, it's never something I've never felt before. فَإِنْ تَصِبْهُ الْعَرَبُ فَقَدْ كَفَيْتُمُهُ. He says, if the Arabs go for him, not you, if the Arabs go for him, then khalas, that will be enough for you, you will be protected. But he says, وَإِذْ يَظْهَرَ عَلَى الْعَرَبُ فَمَلَّكَهُ فَمِلْكُهُ مِلْكُكُمْ. He says, but if he overpowers, or he becomes victorious over the Arabs, then indeed what he has will become yours. Meaning why? Because they never harmed or never attacked the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they would have that sort of allegiance that, look, you do what you have to do and we will not stop you in that sense. So he says that whatever will be gained by him, you will also benefit from it. Milkukum. وَعِزُّهُ عِزُّكُمْ, and his dignity will become your dignity. فَقَالُوا, then listen to what they said. You know, shaitan, he doesn't wait for an opportunity. He grabs every opportunity he can. This man can feel it in his heart that this is the truth. But what does shaitan now whisper in these people's ears? They then respond, they say, وَاللَّهِ يَا أَبَا الْوَلِيدِ سَحَرَكَ بِلِسَانِهِ. He says, oh, Abul Walid, he placed his magic upon you when he recited these things with his tongue. هَذَا رَأْيِي فِيهِ فَاصْنَعُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ. Then Abu al-Walid tells him, look, this is my opinion. If you want to follow it, that's your thing. Do whatever you wish. Right? So Abu al-Walid leaves him in that state. So afterwards, another group comes to the Nabi alayhi salam and they try to negotiate some sort of terms with the Nabi alayhi salam. And نَفَرٌ فِيهِمُ الْوَلِيدِ ibn al-Mughira وَالْعَاصِ ibn Wa'il. You know, we know al-Walid ibn Mughira is the father of who? Khalid ibn Walid, the general commander, the Saifullah. Right, Saifullah al-Maslul, right, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is Khalid ibn Walid. Now here his father came. Now of course his father unfortunately was kafir and he did not become Muslim. So Walid ibn Mughira now goes to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he offers him what? أَيُعْتُوهُ مِنَ الْمَالِ. He wants to give him money. حَتَّى يَكُونَ أَغْنَاهُمْ, until the Nabi will become the most wealthiest of all of them. وَيَزَوِّجُوهُ أَجْمَلْ أَبْكَارِهِمْ, and they will marry the most beautiful of virgins to the Nabi alayhi sallam. عَلَى أَيْ يَتْرُكْ شَتْمَ آلِهِ, so that he may leave slandering the gods. And this is one of the things also to show that the Nabi alayhi salam, when he got married to Aisha, it was not about because he was young or virgin or anything like that. It was by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can benefit from Aisha, because from a young age she grew up in the Madrasatul Muhammadiyya, in the school of the Nabi alayhi salam, and she narrated almost more than 2,300 hadith, subhanallah. That's how the benefit we got from Aisha. And if the case was because she was young, because the Nabi, getting married was more pleasure than anything, Quraysh is offering here, we'll give you the most beautiful of virgins, young virgins that you want, you can have them. Listen to the offerings, right? So the Nabi alayhi salam, so he then also continues, says, يَتْرُكُ شَتْمَ آلِيَتُهُمْ وَتَسْفِيهِ عَادَاتُهُمْ فَرَفِضَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And the Nabi alayhi salam rejected the honor. He rejected the offer, and the Nabi alayhi salam, he then told the Nabi alayhi salam, إِذَنْ تَعْبُدُ آلِيَتُنَا يَوْمًا وَنَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ يَوْمًا. So they said, okay, if that is not going to work, let's try something else. Let's see if we can worship your Lord one day, and we worship and you worship our Lord one day. You know, one day for me, one day for you. And of course, this is completely rejected in Islam, because any faith, whether it be Christianity, whether it be Judaism, whether it be Buddhism, you have to be faithful to the faith. You have to be faithful to God. So anybody, if even as a Christian, you will know, not too long ago, even as the Pope said that anybody that is forced or is not sincere in their worship, then he's not considered as a true Christian. Exactly the same thing in Islam, that if you're not truthful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, in him alone and nobody else, then you cannot be considered as a Muslim. So they try to offer this to Nabi alayhi salam. You know, that one day in the Kaaba we worship Allah, and one day in the Kaaba we worship our gods. So the Nabi alayhi salam then recited the ayat, and in that moment, this is when the ayat was revealed. Kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم واليدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the ayah that says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, O you who disbelieve, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, I do not worship what you worship, meaning in the Nabi alayhi sallam, وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, neither do you worship what I worship, وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ, neither do I worship what you worship, وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, and neither do you worship what I worship, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَالْيَدِينَ, you have your religion and I have my religion. Now the beautiful part of this, we see that there's repetition between these ayat. You know, la a'budu ma ta'budun, I do not worship, but the word ana is not used there, is la a'budu ma ta'budun. Then the next phrase is wala antum a'abiduna ma'abud, neither are you worshiping what I worship, wala ana a'abidun ma'abattum, and neither am I worshiping anything what you worship. Some of the ulama explain the tafsir. They say the reason Allah repeats these three ayat is three indications. What indications? Time. That past, present, future. لا أعبد ما تعبدون, never did I ever worship, never will any mu'min or Muslim ever in the past ever worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neither will I today worship anybody but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And neither in the future will I worship anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some wisdoms and some ulama is extracted from the repetition of these ayat, and it's beautiful. And this ayat then is revealed to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Nabi alayhi wa sallam then tells him, ما بي تقولون ما جئت بما جئتكم به أطلب أموالكم ولا الشرف منكم ولا الشرف فيكم ولا الملك عليكم. The Nabi alayhi sallam tells him that what I brought it not to ask you for money, ask you for wealth, ولا الشرف منكم, and neither do I ask from you honor or dignity, ولا الملك عليكم, neither am I asking to become the king upon you, ولكن الله بعثني إليكم رسولا, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me as a messenger to you, وأنزل علي كتابا, and he descended upon me a book, وأمرني أن أكون بشيرا ونذيرا, and he ordered me to be a person that gives glad tidings and a person that warns the people. فبلغتكم رسالات ربي ونصحت لكم, and I conveyed the messages of my Lord over upon you, and I advised you and guided you. فإن تقبلوا مني, if you accept from me ما جئتكم به, whatever I brought from you, فهو حظكم في الدنيا والآخرة, it will be your goodness in the dunya and in the akhirah, both dunya and akhirah you will benefit. وإن تردوه علي, but if you reject it, reject what I brought for you, أصبر لأمر الله حتى يحكم الله بيني وبينكم, then he says that I will have sabr, if you reject my message I will show that patience and perseverance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until he makes a way, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a way, and he will judge between me and you. So this is the response that the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him. فَقَالُوا, then they come. Now you see, they can see that nothing can work with the Nabi alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because you see, the problem is they're looking at it from a dunyawi perspective. The Nabi alayhi wa sallam is looking at that ukhrawi perspective. That is what he's looking at. So what do they do now? They try to mock the Nabi alayhi wa sallam. You don't want to believe us? Now they throw certain questions, you know? Like Bani Israel, when Nabi Musa alayhi wa said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَكْرَ قَالُوا وَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزْوَى, قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين, قالوا ادع لنا ربك يبين. You know how the ayat goes. So there, the Jews, what did they do? They tried to mock Nabi Musa when Nabi Musa alayhi salam told Allah, told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them to slaughter or sacrifice a cow. They said, look, don't take us for a joke. Don't take us for a run. And they then made it technical and said, look here, tell Allah or ask Allah, what kind of bakra should we, what kind of cow should we sacrifice? You know, trying to ask all of these extra questions, you know, there's absolutely no use in it, right? So yeah, what do they do? They then respond to the Nabi alayhi sallam. They said, فَاسْأَلْ لَنَا رَبُّكَ يَسِيرْ عَنَّا هَذِي الْجِبَالِ. They then say, Ya Muhammad, ask Allah to take away all of these mountains that is around us. قَدْ دَيَّقَتْ عَلَيْنَا. Why? Because it makes it very tight upon us here, you know. We're very tight in a small seclusion, يعني, and we would like these mountains to disappear. When they asked him for the marjiz of the miracle, even if the Nabi had to produce a miracle for them, they would not have believed. Why? Because they were not sincere. They did not ask so that they can increase in iman. Zadatum imana. No, that was a sahaba. But the Quraysh, in that sense, there, the people that were non-Muslim, that are mushrikeen, they asked for a mu'ajizah to mock the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if we had to open, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا, a door from the sky, فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ عَرِشُونَ, and in the sky they would would be traveling all the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا. They will say that no, our eyes were intoxicated. What we saw was an illusion, wasn't real. Huh? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so there is no use to produce the mu'ajiza for these people because they're not sincere in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why to weigh the dunya on the akhirah, it's useless. It's useless. Why? Because the akhirah la hiya al-hayawan law kanu ya'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the akhirah, indeed that is true life. Why? Because it's everlasting life. It's everlasting life in pleasure and goodness and khair and that all in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole Quran and one of the Anbiya describing this dunya, he says, Ya qawmi, innama hadhi al-hayat al-dunya mata' wa inna al-akhirata la hiya darul qarar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says upon one of the Anbiya that's speaking to his people, he says, Ya qawmi, O my people, this is but hayat al-dunya. This is the life of the dunya. It's nothing. It's absolutely no use for you. It will not benefit you. Mata', it's just a phase where you are pleased, pleasure, yani, satisfaction, and it ends off. Wa innal akhirah, but the akhirah, the hereafter, la hiya darul qarar. That is your final destination. That is where you're actually going towards your journey on the dunya. It is going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also bestow his rahmah upon us. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.